Hi, everybody, and thank you all for coming out. Habeas corpus. Come now, and I will show you how darkness falls to dusk and closes to a room so clean and spare. There is but one body there, and the endless ticking of the IV machine. And I will teach you, if you wish to read, the husk of my still body there within the sparse and sterile hospital cell, how I was arraigned and convicted long ago, sentenced then as one bad seed. The op report reveals it all. Bad guts. Maybe no guts. Perhaps gut transplant. And so, as they did before, the surgeons come and go, then come once again to watch and wait and hope. Their prods and pinches convert to pokes as nurses stare, then sigh, and turn down the light. You will leave, but I'll remain, and I'll be out of sight. There'll be no dawn, there'll be no dark, but only a fluorescent glow of machines, and one cursed body aching to be free. Well, this poem comes from my book, Renditions in a Palette, and because of the brevity of time, I'm not going to introduce every poem, but suffice it to say that this book is about different renditions, and each poem has to do with a different rendition, and there's an arc of renditions and also an arc of poems in a palette as they go from the lightest, brightest color down to the deepest bleak of night, and then as they arise and ascend once more. So the next poem is, if I can find it, entitled What We Learned. First there was shock, then denial, anger, soon depression. No one talked of despair, only acceptance if the bereaved was lucky enough to reach the end of grief. Tell that to the tundra swan when her sole partner is felled, swirls past her through the whirling winter, white for a hunter's fillet. Tell it to the mourning dove after his life mate plummets to a small scarlet splotch of death, the savored evening game. Perhaps the sapling will hear when its old growth forest is clear cut for paper plates. Tell it now to them, to us again. The next poem is entitled The Sepia Winter. When the doors silenced shut, our lives closed to a sepia winter, a sky too close to the lake, and no discerning where the snow began. The clouds blended brown with trees, the birches with the gray of storm, the bleak of flakes hardened in rain. Birds, it seemed, had hunkered down, retreated without a trace. Too cold, perhaps. Only the grace of willows offered hope, bending their gold sinews toward the wind, offering solace to the gods of spring and those of us left behind. The next one is entitled Our Clouds. And there's an epigram by C.D. Wright entitled, "But a poem on a page by itself does not penetrate the retina of fear." The clouds were gray, cumulus, as bolts of lightning struck within, lighting the inside filaments to silver rose. Crescendo rode the back of waves, hours rode the back of minutes. Drops pummeled the lake, land, the pebbles, stones, the rocks. The flood fomented our minds, and without the blue, the sky turned red, blood red, as our hearts slowly mottled purple, then forever sealed bleak, sealed jet black. The next poem is a sonnet entitled Slices and has an epigram, "Life doesn't scruple at anything," by Andrew Hudgens. No longer do my slices fall with ease, like half-inch cuts of rye with Russian spread, just trimmed for tangy beef on tasty bread with subtle hints of poppy seed. For these adorned and tailored pieces set the tone, winsome, waiting, exuding pride and youth. They know that someone hungry, bearing truths, will eagerly consume them. You would own, I must accept my slice of life and watch the clock tick down my hours. But even when it rains, I still will run enthralled and then might chase outside the pearl gray drops to catch. Since when it's lived with lust, then life will pause at age as joy becomes her only cause. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So some of you have heard this one. I tried to pick some poems that I have not read in the past, but I've tended to read this one at other readings. Then, wait. Wait until the deepest bleak of night cracks her moon shell to dawn, yields slowly her selvage side of dark. Listen, listen to the swirl of swallows beat against the mist as they bisect our unfolding sky. Taste, taste the twitch and tap of snow flake amidst the still, cold realm of crow. Then, wait a minute, can't turn the page. Then, only then, you won't need your eyes. Not ever, not again, to escape all sorrow, to know our world. The next poem is entitled Every Day. Every day, the sky new at dawn, the gold noon ablaze to set our clocks, spark our hearts. Even then, amethyst, indigo, the mist of gloam soon to go, and I, a speck of creation, but a second in time, look at this grandeur, this blessed abundance, and marvel that it is enough. Thank you. And here is my last poem, entitled The Juice in Squeak. Near naked now, the tree appears frail, yellow bulbous lumps dangling below slim and wispy arms, shriveled brown her leaves hue only to the wind, easy off comes storm or soaking rain. Her body gnarled here and there, scrawny age creeping underground to snatch it. My grandmother, too, had pendulous bumps. Cancer, they said, but even when her boxy frame approached skeletal remains, her Mongolian Jewish eyes would crease tight to join an exuberant smile. With sing-song Yiddish voice, she loved to reminisce amidst many of my cousins, not Italian. Alone, she survived Ellis Island, taught herself to read, and to her surprise, learned to drive a tractor, bale hay, even put up fruit on their farm. What I want to bring out, my orchards were the best, you know, on the compote I made, just luscious. Her voice would trail, the dark of her eyes off to meet the bark of a pear tree, as her ears cocked to the squeak of a long favorite rocker. But here is really what I want to say. The best pears, the very best, you know, they come from trees that always seem nearly dead. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Joan, for having me.